Good evening, and thank you for joining us for Canton Confidential, the Karen Reed murder trial. I'm Glenn Jones.
I'm J.C. Monahan. It has been 1 week since jury selection started in the Karen Reed trial. There was a pause in selection today, but it will resume tomorrow. So for now, let's talk about another key trial that's intertwined with Reed's.
This one involves Aidan Kearney, also known to many as Turtle Boy. He had a pretrial hearing today. More on that in just a moment. But let's break down how we got here. For years, he's had a presence on the Massachusetts news scene. He's been reporting on the Reed case, rallying supporters who believe she's been wrongly accused. He's painted a picture of a vast cover-up, posting hundreds of one-sided videos and articles on the subject. Kearney's attorney has said his actions are protected by the First Amendment. Prosecutors say this is not journalism.
You cannot hide behind the shield of a journalist to be an activist. And the Commonwealth feels that's what's happened here. And somebody's, you know, just saying, I'm a journalist, I can do this.
Today, Kearney was back in court, accused of intimidating potential witnesses and investigators in the Reed case. Prosecutors say he's gone way too far.
So Kearney was first arrested last October. This was him being led into Stoughton District Court wearing a free Karen Reed hoodie. He pleaded not guilty to witness intimidation and conspiracy. For the charge of witness intimidation, prosecutors accuse him of multiple actions. They say last summer, Kearney broadcast himself calling the phone of the former lead investigator in the case, Massachusetts State Police Trooper Michael Proctor, as well as his wife, Elizabeth, and then shared their phone numbers. Trooper Proctor said he then received almost a dozen calls claiming he was part of a conspiracy, so ultimately he had to change his phone number.
And then in July, Kearney broadcast a live video on YouTube of a rolling rally involving dozens of vehicles. Kearney used a bullhorn as the convoy made stops outside the homes of potential trial witnesses and investigators involved in the case.
The harassment of witnesses and the murder prosecution of Karen Reed is absolutely baseless. It should be an outrage to any decent person, and it needs to stop.
And in September, an account on X associated with Kearney posted a photo taken outside the Proctor's home. It showed vehicles belonging to the Proctors and another vehicle belonging to Jennifer McCabe, a witness in the case. It is how Kearney allegedly identified those vehicles that drew the conspiracy charge. According to a state police investigation, an Avon police dispatcher who followed Kearney's website illegally accessed an RMV database to look up the license plate numbers. That dispatcher has since been placed on paid administrative leave.
That's all they're trying to do is shut me up, and we're going to win each case one at a time.
Okay, so the next development in his legal saga came in December. A grand jury indicted Kearney on new witness intimidation charges, and he was held in jail for 2 months. Kearney was released in February, but not before we learned a new detail about the prosecution's evidence. An unsealed state police affidavit revealed Kearney and Karen Reed had communicated with each other for more than 40 hours over 189 phone calls, as well as through an intermediary and a messaging app. Prosecutors say Reed was feeding confidential information to Kearney. Again, Kearney has pled not guilty to all charges against him.
Okay, that was a lot. I know, but there is more. Today, Kearney had a pretrial hearing. Let's get more on that from NBC 10's Kirsten Glavin, live from Denham tonight. So, Kirsten, what happened today?
Well, Kearney and his attorney are accusing the Commonwealth of intentionally slowing this whole process down by withholding critical pieces of evidence in this case, or rather discovery when it comes to this trial we're talking about here. A judge did order that a lot of this missing information does have to be filed by May 8th, saying that this is going to have to come forward here, but it will move the process along a lot more slowly than we have been seeing so far.
A walk up to Norfolk Superior Court in Dedham met with support.
In my opinion, he has helped Karen Reed in her innocence tremendously.
To me, the movement is one and the same, Turtle Boy and Karen Reed.
Then fireworks.
Shame on you, Aiden.
A self-proclaimed YouTuber from Florida insulting and accusing the blogger known as Turtle Boy of witness intimidation in the Karen Reed murder case.
You're going to prison. Shame on you.
Aidan Kearney, a social media guru, responding with a Facebook Live battle.
Are those Walmart brands?
What a rush.
Kearney back in court Tuesday for a pretrial hearing. He was indicted back in December, pleading not guilty on charges of intimidating and harassing witnesses.
And that's all I have, Your Honor, is a big load of junk.
In court, his attorney arguing the state has intentionally withheld documents from them, causing a delay in discovery. Special Prosecutor Kenneth Mello appearing virtually due to health issues, but denying that claim.
I take some offense to the allegation that we're attempting to delay this. That's certainly not a marching order I have ever received.
Kearney leaving frustrated.
This is intentional. They are trying to delay this as long as possible so they can keep me on bail, so they can try to jam me up on something again. That's the whole purpose of this.
Never seen this in 30 years. We're waiting for our grand jury minutes, and I happen to look at the discovery notices from the Karen Reed case, and I see that my grand jury minutes that should be in my file cabinet, which are nowhere to be found, are already given to the Karen Reed defense team in that case. So how does that happen?
Tuesday, a day off from jury selection for the Karen Reed murder trial, but filed at noon a petition asking the full Massachusetts Supreme Court to reconsider the 200-foot buffer zone, preventing demonstrators from getting too close to potential jurors.
You don't just throw a blanket over a whole area and say, that's it, no First Amendment here. You have to go at it with a scalpel, not with a sledgehammer.
The government now has until Wednesday to submit their case before the SJC can make a final decision.
I don't know what makes this court think that the jurors are so stupid that if you tell them, don't be persuaded by signs you might see outside, that they can't handle that.
Now, jury selection for the Karen Reed murder trial will resume tomorrow. There are 19 jurors that are currently seated, but some are expected to drop out. So they are continuing to look for what the judge is referring to as a solid 16 before opening statements can begin. We're live here in Dedham. I'm Kirsten Glavin, NBC 10 Boston.
In addition to jury selection, Kirsten, there are still some key decisions we're awaiting ahead of opening statements in the Karen Reed trial.
Okay, so just a quick recap, right? Karen Reed accused of hitting her boyfriend, Boston police officer John O'Keefe, with her SUV and leaving him for dead in the snow back in 2022. His body found the next morning outside the Canton home of a fellow police officer where the couple had been invited to attend a party after a night out. Now, Reed is on trial for second-degree murder. Her defense team claims she's being framed by law enforcement. Now, meanwhile, the defense and prosecution, Glenn, as you mentioned, they're haggling over motions. Prosecutors are trying to keep Reed's lawyers from calling Norfolk County DA Michael Morrissey as a witness. They say the defense has not offered enough proof to force him to appear. In addition, again, the prosecution's still waiting for judicial answers about admitting important blood and DNA evidence. Prosecutors say that DNA evidence shows John O'Keefe was likely struck by Reed's vehicle.
And we've also got a few other things to sort out. The issue of sight lines from the jury box. The defense last week filed a motion seeking to change the courtroom layout because of poor sight lines. They claim at least six jurors will only see the back of a witness's head and not their face. You can see the perspective in that photo. The prosecution has suggested using a smaller courtroom in the building, one with better sight lines for jurors. No decision has been made on that just yet. And again, as Kirsten mentioned, we're also awaiting on the court's buffer zone, banning demonstrations within 200 feet of the courthouse during the trial. Demonstrators appealed the move after the judge put that buffer zone in place earlier this month. The state now has until tomorrow to submit their case before the SJC, and they can make a final decision once that filing is made. So a lot still needs to be decided before both sides can start presenting their cases. Again, we are here to cover it all for you. Each night at 7, right here on NBC 10 Boston, we will highlight the day's big moments, bringing you in-depth analysis and deep dives into the case that has gained national attention. You can also head to our website to share the latest episode of Canton Confidential and find our podcast for staying caught up on the go.